Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com. There's been conversations about, okay, are they going to be good, though, for humanity?
It's most likely going to be great, and there's some chance, which could be 10 to 20%, that it goes bad. The chance is not zero that it goes bad. But overall, one could say that the cup is 80% full is one positive way to look at it. Maybe 90%.
So maybe 90%, he says. So,
but what does goes bad look like?
Right, right. That's a great question.
Bad? Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
All right, are you ready? Decision Wisconsin.
And here we go.
Oh, yeah, we do. Holy cow, what a day, Vince. In Wisconsin
today. What a week.
Today. Yeah. We'll start with today. Both candidates in Wisconsin at the same time. So President Trump will be in Green Bay at the Rest Center tonight around 6 o'clock. He will be joined by Packers star Brett Favre. So that's happening tonight in Green Bay. Meanwhile,
and I saw her face.
Oh yeah. Vice President Kamala Harris, also in Wisconsin. She will be at the UW-Madison campus tonight. She's set to speak around 8:30 tonight. So that event on campus is supposed to start like at 4:30. There's going to be music and bands.
Like concert and, oh, by the way, there's politics.
So both candidates in Wisconsin on the same day. It doesn't get any more intense than that, right?
It does.
Actually, yes, it does.
This is what happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object.
Yes, Friday night, both candidates will be in Milwaukee. Trump will be at Fiserv Forum, 7 o'clock, but that's not all. Also in Milwaukee that night, Vice President Kamala Harris. Both candidates for president will be in Brew City at the very same time. But we don't know where the VP is going to be yet. So my question to you is, if you're the VP and you're coming to Milwaukee at the same time as you're the person you're running against, Donald Trump, what optics are you looking for? Are you looking for something larger than Fiserv Forum? Or are you looking for something smaller, more handshaky? What are you doing?
Your point being, if you're an in-between, if he's holding a rally with 18,000 people and you're holding one with 1,000, that
right?
Isn't right.
The optics don't look good.
Unless you go super small. I was just having a small event. I was meeting directly with the voters here and whatever. But it doesn't seem like down the stretch here, that's what we're doing.
If you were to try to match Fiserv Forum and you're in Milwaukee, where are you going?
You got one choice. That's AmFam.
AmFam Field, right? I
haven't heard that.
Yeah, we're just talking out loud.
Or you do a large outdoor. You could do a veterans park or something like that and erect a big stage. But it's Wednesday.
Well, what does that mean for security, too? You want to talk about RNC security back in the day and everything else that's been going on. You're going to have a lot of people in town at the very same time who don't always agree with each other.
What's your analysis on them both being in Wisconsin today, both being literally in the same city on Friday? Is that deliberate? Are they matching one another? Or is it just because it's Wisconsin and there are only a few states here that are getting these big visits?
I think both of those things can be true.
And here we go.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Packers get back to practice today following their typical Tuesday off. Should reveal more about the injury to quarterback Jordan Love. How bad is the groin injury he suffered on Monday? ESPN's Adam Schefter joined Jed and Gabe and Chewy on ESPN Milwaukee this week, says he's told it's not that bad.
He came out better in testing than I think everybody hoped he would. I believe he's going to play on Sunday.
But for now, Love, take that injury day by day.
One of these days, we're going to hear LaFleur singing this song in karaoke.
It's the story of the season, right? Second time we've been through this with Love. Packers host the Lions, a 3:15 kick on Sunday.
There will be a Game 5 Yankees beat the Dodgers 11-4 in the World Series, so now they're down in that series 3-1.
Judge is there to make the catch. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win. Oh,
poor John Sterling.
Okay, my man?
WFAN radio, their voice just struggling there. But hey, it's the World Series. You got to crank through it. So the play that everyone is talking about wasn't even something on the field. A fan interference foul ball. So Gleyber Torres of the Yankees hits one foul down the right field line. You follow me here? It's starting to go right into the stands, but right fielder Mookie Betts jumps up, catches the ball, but
Betts in the corner. Does he have room? Fights with the fan. And they're going to say that it's an out. And fan interference.
Yeah, Joe Davis and John Smoltz on Fox with the call. Two fans grabbed Betts' glove, pried the ball out.
Betts has that ball in his glove, and this fan literally tries to take his glove off. Pries the ball out of there. A for effort.
Yeah, you would imagine those guys got thrown out of the game. One of them looked like Babe Ruth's grandson up there. Total Yankees
cigar,
guy.
Right?
Big Brewers news, by the way. You may not know the name, but huge signing. Brewers lock in pitching coach Chris Hook, who's an enormous success for them with their pitching staff. He's been the coach since 2019 there with the pitching staff, and he will continue.
Told you here first on Wisconsin's Morning News to watch for some changes to the format of our state's only pro golf annual event. Wisconsin golf great Steve Stricker told me as much when I caught up with him this summer ahead of his induction to the Wisconsin Sports Hall of Fame.
We may do something different. We're trying to maybe work out a different kind of format of an event, maybe potentially a team event, maybe Stableford, maybe just something a little bit different to make it more enjoyable for the fans.
Well, Stricker hosts the American Family Insurance Championship, which this year moves to the course that he helped rebuild, now called TPC Wisconsin in Madison. Strick, champion Ryder Cup captain, PGA Tour winner, Champions Tour winner many times over, and he's wanting to shake up the tournament a little bit. So the top 38 players, this is official now, on the Champions Tour will have the opportunity to pick a teammate with whom they play together for the weekend. Days 1 and 3 will be best ball. Day 2 will be a scramble.
That's cool.
Now, if that doesn't mean anything to you, you wouldn't care much about the explanation. The thing is, it's different, and I think it would really add some excitement and more visibility to the tournament, as Strick told us first here on Wisconsin's Morning News. Competition days will be June 6th, 7th, and 8th of next summer. On Wisconsin's Morning News this Wednesday morning, there are some secrets that we need to be comfortable with our government keeping. Right? As people who report the news, Eric, you and me, like one of our jobs here is to tell all of you who listen to the program or watch with us on YouTube things that otherwise some folks would rather not have you know, right? That's the heart of investigative journalism. You break a story, you get a leak, you uncover a document. But even in our free society, we generally accept that there are secrets the government keeps and that we need to, with some of those, be okay with that. I offer that as a precursor to detailing the conversation I had with two people inside the U.S. Secret Service in regards to that near miss of the vice president's motorcade here in Milwaukee now more than a week ago. I have new information this morning, E, on how the Secret Service detail protected the VP and reacted to the wrong-way driver that rode right past the motorcade on the freeway last Monday. Secret Service personnel were largely forthcoming, while also multiple times suggesting there were things they simply cannot reveal.
I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you.
Well, the line oft used in the movies. My guy didn't say that, but did say on multiple occasions, essentially, I can only tell you so much.
Right.
I'll circle back to that in a moment, but the overriding takeaway after speaking with the chief of communications for the Secret Service is that while it appears in the video that in that incident there was no reaction to this oncoming vehicle, there was a reaction. So let's back up and fill you in on what we know happened. And producer Greg Hill is running the video obtained by TMJ4 News of the DOT camera near the freeway incident. You can watch on our YouTube channel, click watch on the digital app or WTMJ.com or text watch to 855-616-1620. Perfect time to bring up since we're going to be seeing a lot of motorcades in Wisconsin this week, as we just told you at the top of the hour. New information on this near miss. I've been uncomfortable with the apparent shoulder shrug beyond the first day or two of reporting on this that the incident seems to be getting. So it's been like, it happened, but nothing happened, so everything's fine. I spoke with the chief of communications for the United States Secret Service, and he had some new details to share. So a little over a week ago, Vice President Harris, somewhere in the motorcade of vehicles, is headed back to Milwaukee Mitchell International following that campaign event in Brookfield. The vice president press and support vehicles, local law enforcement, Secret Service, all in what they call a rolling bubble motorcade. VP Harris is headed back to the airport following that event. The lead law enforcement vehicles out in front of the vice president's vehicle passed by the motorcade on their left by a white SUV driving the wrong way on the freeway. Once past the motorcade, authorities stopped and then arrested 55-year-old Wayne Wacker, whom they say was drunk, blood alcohol level of 0.25, three times the legal limit for driving. Wacker said he didn't know what he was doing and intended no harm to Vice President Harris. It still leaves open questions, however, as to how some drunk was ever able to get that close, lest he actually had been an assassin or someone who was trying to do something bad. So I spoke Tuesday after submitting a series of questions to the U.S. Secret Service with Anthony Guglielmi. He is chief of communications, top spokesman there. He tells me this rolling bubble form of motorcade protection is the standard level of protection afforded to a sitting vice president, and only one notch below what the president himself receives in a motorcade, which is an even tighter road and freeway shutdown. And Guglielmi said that it's how the VP normally travels, even around Washington or wherever she is. He said the incident did not pose a threat to Vice President Harris. That's the baseline for everything to follow. Flat out, U.S. Secret Service stands by that statement. The incident did not pose a threat to Vice President Harris. Now, we asked, how can that be? Because you watch this vehicle drive right by the motorcade. So he did detail a few reasons why they can say the incident didn't pose a threat. Significantly, the oncoming vehicle, he said, had no effect on the speed of the motorcade. That's significant, he said, especially since I spoke with another law enforcement source who told me the motorcade moves forward. When you're in it, your job is to keep moving forward quickly. And so that backs up with this chief of communications for Secret Services saying the motorcade is safest when it's moving forward at a good clip. He said that effort was never impeded. Biggest takeaway in the conversation with him, though it appears there's no reaction from law enforcement and the vehicles in the motorcade, this other SUV is approaching in the wrong direction. It appears as you watch the video, there's no reaction. That's not the case, according to Guglielmi. He tells me some of the vehicles in the motorcade did change position. So they repositioned based on the fact that they had this SUV approaching. Here's his quote. Vehicles in the motorcade that serve a purpose were repositioned. What purpose specifically? What countermeasures might those vehicles have been able to deploy if necessary? That falls under the I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you category, right? Speaking of countermeasures, Guglielmi also said the Secret Service assets in that case have various options to defend the package, which is a term that they use for their protective detail. And he could say more, but quote, I wish I could tell you the reason why I can't. I just can't. So back to the earlier point about this, there are things that the Secret Service does in terms of deception or veiling. You don't even know which vehicle that the vice president is actually riding, and that's on purpose.
Or if they're even in the motorcade.
Exactly. Things like that. So to reveal all of those secrets would be counterintuitive. Like that wouldn't serve their purpose of trying to protect that detail. So I've got much more on this through the morning. We'll hit it again just after 8 o'clock with more information on whether any of the lead vehicles in the motorcade could have intervened before the wrong way driver ever got that close.
I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you.
At least this one NFL watcher expects Jordan Love to play on Sunday. Bring it to you in sports at 6:45.
Don't forget, Halloween is tomorrow, and a show note right here in Wisconsin's Morning News. Our third annual Halloween radio show will air tomorrow morning. It'll debut at, 8:40 tomorrow.
Regardless of world events, no matter what happens in the news, we will bring to you...
It's
fine.
Barring anything unforeseen, yes, correct, we wouldn't air it. But here's a little snap. You want a little, little snaps in? Okay.
What in the... What is happening? Hello? Eric. Better not be some kind of joke. I'm telling you, the museum is going to be pissed. Who's there? Who's there? Stay away from me. Stay away from me.
Ooh. Solomon Shovel debuts tomorrow at 8:40.
That's some really good voice acting there, don't you think?
I think it's fantastic. You did a great job.
Really solid. This is a creation. Eric has written this play, is it a play?
It's a radio show.
It's a radio show. It's an old-timey radio show.
In honor of the old-timey radio shows, we're doing one tomorrow.
8:40.
We are doing it together.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
6:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
If my intelligence is artificial, then why am I smarter than you?
All right, we have artificial intelligence news. Remember when Tesla and Elon Musk unveiled their RoboCab, and they also unveiled those robots that were walking around, those Optimists that were just
talking to people?
Yes.
Oh, hello, John.
How are you? That's crazy. I'm talking to a robot.
Yeah, these robots are just walking around talking to influencers and different reporters and et cetera, et cetera. Well, Musk talking more about that now and what he expects to happen with these robots.
I think by 2040, probably there are more humanoid robots than there are people.
He thinks by 2040, there'll be more robots than people.
He what said, are we at? So, 8 billion right yeah. now is the world, global population? Mm-hmm.
He says by 2040, there'll be at least 10 billion robots priced between $20,000 and $25,000. And he was speaking at a huge tech conference taking place in Saudi Arabia this week. Okay, so what about robots that are actually able to do things like mow your lawn or babysit or
that? Ridiculous.
Yep, yep.
They can babysit, but they can't mow my lawn.
Yeah. When will they be available? Here's what he said.
I think it will be able to do anything that any human can do, possibly within the next year or two. And then how much longer than that does it take to be able to do what all humans can do combined? I think not long, probably only, I don't know, 3 years from that point. So it like 2029-ish, 28, something like that.
He thinks by 2028 or 29, we'll have robots that are able to do anything you need them to do.
Walking around, cleaning your house, doing the laundry.
Yep, doing all the stuff.
I've got a burger medium rare. No tomato, extra ketchup.
Whatever you want. He thinks within, 4 or 5 years? That's incredible.
Think of his price point, too. What did he say, $25,000 or $30,000?
Yeah, and that's in 2040 with times. So these will be pricier. But still, you can have them do anything. They can basically take care of your house. They can watch your kids. They can water your plants. All of that. Now, there's been conversations about, are they going to be good, though, for humanity?
It's most likely going to be great. And there's some chance, which could be 10 to 20%, that it goes bad. The chance is not zero that it goes bad. But overall, one could say that the cup is 80% full is one positive way to look at it. Maybe 90%.
So maybe 90%, he says. So
what does goes bad look like?
Right. That's a great question.
Bad?
Great question.
Why are you laughing at me?
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
There will be a Game 5. Yankees beat the Dodgers 11-4 in Game 4 of the World Series. They're still down in that series 3-1. The biggest conversation stemming from that game, though, is what happened on a foul ball. Gleyber Torres of the Yankees hits one down the foul line, down the right field line. It just gets into the stands, but right fielder Mookie Betts jumps in, catches the ball, but
Betts has that ball in his glove, and this fan literally tries to take his glove off. Fries the ball out of there. A for effort.
Well, he won't be watching the game much longer.
Yeah, no, probably not. As John Smoltz along with Joe Davis on the Fox call there. Yeah, these two fans literally held his glove, kind of held his arm up in the air, and then jammed the ball out of there. They still called him out, and they still threw those guys out of the game.
Well, because sometimes when it's fan interference, they get in the way of the guy catching the ball.
Right.
Dude caught it.
Yeah.
He had caught the ball, and they tore his the ball
Silly.
And glove away from him.
Game 5 is tonight. Big Brewers news, by the way. So you may not know the name, but this is a huge signing. The Brewers lock in their pitching coach, Chris Hook. New deal. So the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says he's been with the team for nearly 20 years. He's been the pitching coach since 2019. And basically, he's credited with the club's success of their pitching. So the industry wondered if maybe the Brewers would let this guy get away. Nope. Matt Arnold keeps his guy. Big signing for
the
crew.
That guy's a wizard. Should learn more today about the extent of Packer quarterback Jordan Love's injury. He left Sunday's game after pulling his groin.
To get your scores from a guy like me who knows what it's like to have a groin injury.
And that old Sam Malone on Cheers.
Got That's a deep
doing
cut
local
right
sports,
there.
Right? ESPN's Adam Schefter, joining Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on ESPN Milwaukee this week, says he's told the injury is not as bad as some feared.
I believe he'll be out there. That injury was not significant enough to prevent him from playing what is going to be a huge key game that could help decide the NFC North.
Yeah, indeed. Packers in the North Division leading Lions 3:25 kick at Lambeau on Sunday. And Wisconsin golf news, the American Family Insurance Championship will have a new format this summer as it moves to a new venue as well. Wisconsin's own PGA Tour champion, winning Ryder Cup captain, and host of the now annual event, Steve Stricker, rebuilt his home course. It was formerly Cherokee Country Club. Now it's TPC Wisconsin. The AmFam Championship will be there this coming summer instead of University Ridge. And I caught up with Strick, you remember, this summer, E, and we talked about that golf course.
Hey, I played your golf course, TPC Wisconsin, yeah. in the fall.
How'd you do?
Too damn hard, man.
We went to work in the fall and this spring to soften it up a little bit.
Did you really? Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, because it's there were some challenging holes out there.
Yeah, indeed. So I spoke with Strick prior to his induction into the Wisconsin Sports Hall of Fame. Will be an interesting test for the pros on the Champions Tour. That course wasn't built for the likes of me or your average golfer. It's a beautiful place, though. I mentioned new format as well. Announced this week, it'll be teams. Top 38 players on the Champions Tour will have an opportunity to pick a partner with whom they play then for 3 days. It'll be a two-man team. Days 1 and 3 will be best ball. Day 2 will be a scramble format. Tournament play June 6th through the 8th in Madison.
Both presidential candidates, Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump, in Wisconsin today. Both candidates will be in Milwaukee on Friday night. And then, of course, the election is Tuesday. Joining us now on Wisconsin's Morning News, former Milwaukee Police Lieutenant and 101.7 The Truth host, Dr. Ken Harris. So, Dr. Harris, who? Good morning.
Who? Who's that again?
That's so, all hands on deck, right? As we get into Tuesday, I mean, everyone is on call, everyone working.
So tired of Tuesday.
Yeah. Imagine
because only because I've tried to vote 3 times.
Really? Long lines or what?
First time was 3 hours. Second time was 2 hours. I'm like, no.
Man, you might as well just go on election day, right? I mean, like, block it out. It'll be 5 minutes.
Nobody will be there.
Right.
Yeah, we'll see about that. All right. So what happens now with all these local police departments in and around? What is their role, if any, when we have candidates coming in today and on Friday? And what is their role as we get into Tuesday?
The same as it's been before. They're going to do support for Secret Service. They've already set up all the protocols, everything that they're going to do, and it's set. There are other things that, of course, you can't know, but there are certain things that are set up for safety and health in case someone gets injured. All those things have been set up. They're already in place.
Is there a level of exhaustion for local law enforcement? Like, this is outside of the parameters of what they normally do on a Tuesday or on a Friday or whatever. Like, you get to a point where, look, we've already talked about MPD being understaffed as it is.
You mean where we already don't have enough people,
right,
in the sheriff's,
yes,
department, the police department?
Yes.
Well, no real, I mean, but working as a professor at Concordia, I'm contacted 2-3 times a day. Hey, can we come in and talk to your class? Because we really want to have, you know, but because everybody's short. I mean, small, right, departments are just short. And George Floyd, as good as it did to make changes in law enforcement, it then caused people to say, you know what? My family doesn't like cops, so I'm not going to be a cop. And so now we're just short all over.
One of the things that you hear from time to time regarding what's going to happen Tuesday, or, you know, whether there's lawsuits and legal issues, but like the concern of chaos sowers, people that are going to cause chaos or cause disruption just to do it. And we've already seen it a little bit with, like, ballots and stuff.
Yeah, but again, those ballots, it's so easy to get those taken care of. Burning a ballot,
sure,
box is the dumbest thing you could possibly
do. 1,000% agree. Yeah, you're not going to, those votes can be recast. There's ways they go through that. But how do you, as a local law enforcement, have to plan or at least prevent the possible opportunity for someone to cause more chaos on Tuesday?
I would go to the city council, pass an emergency ordinance that says, here's the ballot box, this is it. If you go inside this square, you're arrested for disorderly conduct. And we're done. Like, let's not go through the he didn't do anything, she didn't do anything. Something that's going to be put in place short term, and we're done. And that way, it'll be that much of a deterrence for people to say, well, I'm not going to even go to the ballot, but do you have a ballot in your hand? No, jail. And I think it'll stop.
What's your level of concern for post-election demonstrations that perhaps would get out of control? Like, I don't want to sow any ideas or put anything out there, but obviously there is concern for reaction regardless of how this thing turns out.
One, I don't care. Two, I don't care. Three, whoever loses is going to complain or go to court. Unfortunately, we live in a world now where that's just natural, but I don't think it's going to be anywhere as bad as people think it is. I don't. I think people are exhausted. So if you lose, you're done. And just go somewhere and sit down. I think it'll be quiet.
1 week from now, right, you will be in this studio with us.
No, I won't.
Oh, you're not here next week?
I will have been up all night. You think I'm going to wait? No, yeah, I'll be here.
Oh, excellent. So my question is, which states do you think we'll be staring at next week at this time? Which ones will we be waiting on?
Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania.
Well, Pennsylvania, they can take all week to count the votes, right?
I think Arizona's going to slide over to Republican.
Yeah. So it'll be just the blue wall there that everyone's watching.
Yep.
All right. Absolutely. We'll find out.
Dude, that's 1 week from today.
Yes, it is.
6:57. Thanks, Dr. Ken. All right. On Wisconsin's Morning News.